Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Before I start today's show, I do have one quick announcement. If you are listening here on Blog Talk or on the computer, just want to let you know that I will be the guest right after today's show on Kathy's Distant Echoes with the Conundrum Show with Julie Vaughn, and we'll be talking about my new book, It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites. This will be my first interview as a guest about the new book, so I hope you'll join us there. If you aren't able to listen live, you can always go to my website, www.byteradio.me, click on the calendar, and I have a direct link on the calendar to this afternoon's show. Okay, well, now to get to today's show, my very special guest is Francine Vail, and she is author of Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light. Song of the Heart is a uniquely structured volume. The first part is an engrossing fictionalization of the author's family history, where a tragic tale is told by a special being whose calling is to help us see that we each have a soul, what that soul is, and how all of our souls are connected. In the second part, the fiction meets reality as psychic scars inflicted by the first part manifest themselves in the lives of the actual Vail family. The family actions and interactions in this epic tale will move you deeply while affording you insights into your own relationships. Francine Vail is an author, spiritual teacher, spiritual leader, and visionary. Her past life memories as a Hopi medicine woman in the 19th century, a Roman girl who followed Jesus, and an Egyptian priestess in the service of Isis continues to inspire and influence her consciousness. Encouraged by the highly evolved spiritual beings who are her teachers, Francine shares all that she has learned. You can find out more about Francine and her book and her blog and a whole bunch of other stuff by visiting her website, which is francinevail.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Francine to the show. Good afternoon, Francine.
Oh, good afternoon, Robert, and thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. I'm looking forward to a bright discussion over the next hour. So,
I am too.
Great. Well, you know, what I'd like to, since I kind of, you know, gave a little bit of an introduction about, you know, what the book is about and a little bit about you, would you mind sharing with the listeners a little bit more about your personal journey and you know, when I started reading what was available on Amazon about your book, you had an interesting vision that kind of brought that book into your consciousness, and I would love for you to be able to share that with the listeners.
Oh, well, thank you for asking that. That was quite a beautiful experience that I had, and, you know, since I finished the book in May of 2013, I realized when I had time to stop and just think, everything is consciousness, where we are in our consciousness, and we're really about raising the frequency of our consciousness so that we can deal with our life challenges more easily and in a way that serves the higher self of each person. So the vision that I had that led me to writing the book happened in 1989, and I woke up one morning. I usually wake up at dawn, and I saw inside my mind with my inner vision a field of golden light. And in that field, I saw a book, and the book was shining gold. And on the cover, it said Song of the Heart. And then Spirit spoke to me, I guess, It was before my spirit guide revealed himself directly to me and said, this is the book that you will write, and have no fear, you are not alone. And so I did it, and I actually felt the presence of spirit at my side while I was writing this part one, turned out to be part one. In those days, I wrote by longhand, and then I transcribed it on a word processor. And the book did not get published, and everyone who read it, who was in a position to help me, loved it, but it just did not get published. And so I put it away, and my life changed 360 degrees. And 21 years later, I took it out, and I gave it a fresh edit. And I knew that a part two was waiting, but I had no idea how to begin part two. Because in my mind, it was done. The book was done, Song of the Heart. And it was March of 2013. I had just finished that fresh edit, and I'm brushing my teeth, and all of a sudden, this golden light was in my head, much like it was 21 years before. But this time, what I saw, it's hard to describe it on the radio, but when you read it, it's easier to understand it. I saw a square of golden light, and it was overlaid with four triangles that came to the center. They met in the center. And I saw this, and all of a sudden the triangles opened, and all this golden light came pouring out. And with it came words, packets of words. And I ran to the computer. Now it's 2013. I had joined the modern age, and I had a computer. And I started writing. And for 10 days, the first 10 pages of part two kept pouring out, and when I was done, I was done. And it was called The Structure of All That Is, and it took up 10 pages. And I realized later that what it was coming from inside the pyramid. That was the symbolism of what I saw inside my head, the pyramid. So this was information that is stored inside the Great Pyramid of Giza, which I feel very much connected to from my ancient Egyptian lifetime. Probably more than one lifetime back then, because that was like 10,500 years ago when some of us came from a higher, more highly evolved planet to restart civilization on Earth after the fall of Atlantis. And I was part of that civilization as a priestess in the service of Isis. And it's very disturbing that today this terrible organization that we all have heard about on the news is called ISIS. It's a denigration.
I know.
And it's very disturbing. We should not even use that name in any other way but Mother Goddess. And so that was the beginning of part two. And from there I understood that I was to share the years that had intervened. And so I needed to live those 21 years before I could complete Song of the Heart, because I had to have those experiences. The experiences that I had after I finished the book were so transcendent and so ethereal and esoteric that I cannot believe that it happened to me. But of course, I do believe it because I experienced it. But normally, each of us can handle a certain type of experience, and it's in a certain vein of spirituality. Whereas the range of experiences that I had and continue to have are so unbelievably vast and spread out over the whole sphere of esoteric experiences that you can have while you're in a human body. And the truth is, a lot of them I have when I'm not in my body. I'm outside my body. And it's hard to remember everything. And so I have learned to have trust and faith. And what they tell me is you will remember when the time comes. And so there are lots of things that are suddenly triggered, either by people asking questions or clients coming to me with problems or different problems in my own life where suddenly this high wisdom is revealed to me. And I just know that it's coming from some of my journeys where I was taught.
Yeah. Well, you know, Now, don't take this the wrong way. When I looked at your picture, I thought you were interplanetary, you know, but in a good way, you know.
I get that a lot. Yeah, a lot of people tell me that wherever I go. They look into my eyes and they say, you're from here, you're from there. And actually, I never knew where I was from until I had an experience that was the most transcendent experience I ever had after the book was published. And in that experience, I was told I came from the star system of Sirius.
That is exactly where I was going to say.
Really?
Okay.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see that in my face.
That's wonderful. You know, and I truly have run across, you know, select people here and there where there is that connection. I mean, and it carries over into sometimes into the physical, but there is a distinct energetic pattern or eminence, you know, of energy that just kind of yells, you know, if you kind of are open to that, you know what I mean? I mean, because some people just wouldn't even consider, but they're, you know, they're just kind of, they're not open to the possibilities even of, you know, interstellar or, you know, I mean, anything of an esoteric nature.
Well, that's what I'm here to do. That's really what my mission is to wake people up to their true potential and help people find their true authentic selves. And it happens in a way that, to me, I get excited every time. I never get tired of this. I never get bored with it. It is the most exciting thing to see somebody find their true authentic self and then become that. It doesn't happen overnight, but it's a glorious experience for each person, and I get very excited over it, and it just goes on and on. So in a way, I am so nourished by the people who come to me. That's the way it is. You know, when I was sick over the summer, I had a problem, and I could not do healings because I needed to put all my energy into myself. And, of course, our bodies speak to us. Everyone who's listening should pay attention to this. Our bodies will communicate with us. It's up to us if we want to hear what our bodies are telling us. And I was a person who, you know, I go too far sometimes. Like, I believe in peace and love and kindness. And when I say go too far, I mean in my personal relationships. I've had two main relationships, and one very, very long and one long, but not. I'm not old enough to have them both. But I swallowed my words a lot in those relationships.
Mm.
I wanted to keep peace. I didn't want to create an argument. And what difference did it make? So let him have his way. And I literally swallowed the pain of not being able to express myself. And if I did express myself, I had to be ready to stand up and argue as if I was in a courtroom, argue my peace. Whereas if I was standing before God, it wasn't enough that I just said it. I had to then defend it. And so that was very dangerous for me to do because it all gets stuck in the throat. What do? When we swallow? It has to get past the throat chakra. In my case, the thyroid gland. And so years and years of building up that way, naturally, it finally turned into a cancer because it was a cancer eating at me that I could not express myself with the people that mattered the most to me. We all want the person that's close to us to see us as we are and to hear our truths. So it's very important to pay. And I was always getting, infections in my throat my whole life.
Yeah.
So it's very important for us to understand the body and how it speaks to us. You know, you hear about people getting pain in their knees and they just keep running or they just keep doing whatever it is they're doing that's hurting their knees until one day they have knee replacement. So we really have to pay attention to our body in every way.
Yeah, very much. Now, the not seeing what you wanted to. And one of my favorite songs of recent months is the Sarah Bareilles one, Brave, Say What You Want to Say and Let the Words Fall Where They May. I mean, there are times, and because I often too, I'm very much a peacekeeper generally, and there were often times that I would do very much the same thing. When that song came out, it was just like it just spoke to me at the very essence. So
yes.
Just like, so now it's like, hey, I just say what I want to say, a lot of times I may have to reference it reference it as this is my point of view, but I do say what I want to say, and if it's met with, anger or confrontation or just, any kind of resistance, I just recognize that it's on their part. It has absolutely nothing to do with me. So
that's right. And I believe, you say it with kindness and you say
right.
it with love and you phrase
right.
it a certain way. And the truth is there are, 6 billion people on the planet and there are enough people who do want to hear what you have to say.
We need
to surround ourselves with people who are at least open enough to listen to us. And because the other ones will make us sick, and that is true of everyone. And the truth is we're all one. The bottom line is we are all one. We are all connected.
Yeah.
But we have this one lifetime to express this particular teaching. We will live in other lifetimes, of course, but in this lifetime, we generally have something to accomplish, and we want to accomplish it before the life is over. So if we aren't accomplishing it over here, we have to go over there. We have to find where we are able to plant our seeds and nourish them, because, all of a sudden you wake up one day and you say, where did it all go? And I didn't get it all done.
Right.
So,
That's one of the things that I've heard often, from people who work in hospice care or people who are, in the process of transitioning, that quite often, that is the one of the reflections that is common is to, where did it go? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I, and what stopped me? And if I could, I would blank, blank, blank,
right.
So very, very,
and,
very
and in
important.
The, in the process, when we do break away from people holding us back, the miraculous thing that happens is other people come into our lives right away to fill that space. And that helps us. That's what raises our consciousness. Because then we look back and we say, just like you were just talking about people in their last days have regrets. So then we look back and we say, what did I wait so long for? What held me back from doing what turned out to be the perfect thing to do? And so that's the way life is. We keep raising our consciousness. But right now, the opportunity to raise our consciousness is so much vastly expanded because this is the end of the 26,000-year cycle, as I'm sure you know. And so this enlightenment that's coming down for us, actually enlightenment from, you could say, from heaven, that is coming down to us so that we can finish up this cycle and accomplish that. Everything is so fast. The computer has speeded up our lives. Everything is so fast that that's how fast we can raise our frequency. It happens faster. So maybe it took 10 years to learn something. Today we can read it, understand it, get it, and know it right away because our minds are quicker. So we can still accomplish what we haven't accomplished yet. There's still breath in us and we can still do it.
Right. I agree that, with that speeded up sense of being, that does allow us a chance. And you're correct. I mean, that's one of the things that I talk about a lot. If you wake up and you're breathing, you have an opportunity to make a great day. You know what I mean? So, from that standpoint. Now, One of the things, I'd like to talk a little bit about, first of all, I want to have a couple questions regarding spirit guides and your past lives, and then I want to talk just a little bit about your book. And then you have a wonderful blog on your website that I, you know, people should definitely go look at. You have some great topics there, and I'd like to touch on a couple of them. But first of all, let's start with, you know, you mentioned earlier about when your spirit guide revealed himself. Can you tell us about that? There's a lot of listeners out there who are kind of at the point where, you know, they're exploring and want to kind of make that contact or in that kind of thing, but just don't know how it unfolds. So how, for you, how did that work?
Yes. Thank you. A lot of people, just about everybody that comes to my workshops and spiritual gatherings, everybody wants to know, how can I connect with my spirit guide? How did you do that? And one of the things that must be present is that you want to, that you really want to connect with your spirit guide, your guardian angel. And wanting to means without fear. Not thinking, I'd like to, but oh, I'm afraid of what it might be like. No fear whatsoever. That, in fact, is the first teaching that I received, was have no fear. So I will tell you how it happened. And it may not happen the same way for everyone, but the most important thing is to want this with all your heart and to not have any fear about it. You have to trust in your higher self and always be in the light. You know, the more things we do, this may not sound like how to connect with the spirit guide, but it really does explain. When we are living in kindness and love and putting that out, radiating that from our hearts every day, wherever we go, we are building around us a great aura of light. And that is what our spirit guides need. They cannot be here in any way, shape, or form if we are radiating anger or greed or hurting people. They will not show up unless we're doing something so terrible that they have to show up and then hope that the person is going to hear what their spirit guide is saying. Sometimes they do show up to stop someone from doing something very bad, but the person doesn't hear them. So, but for the most part, as a normal person who's just living a good life, do that. Make your conscious intention to be more kind, more loving, and surround yourself with this beautiful light of love. And then want it with all your heart, with no fear. And then you might have an experience such as mine, where I woke up early in the morning. Waking up early is really, really nice to do. I always wake up like at dawn or just before dawn, where it's peaceful and quiet. The electromagnetic activity is very low. And off in a distance, and this is very common, off in a distance you see a light. And you can't be sure what you're seeing, but you're intrigued by this light. And as it comes closer, it starts to take on the form of a human being, and you realize something is happening. And so you stay very still and radiate your love and be very quiet and peaceful and allow this light to come closer and closer to you. And as it comes closer, you begin to know who it is. And it may not have features that you recognize. It's more of a feeling. There's a resemblance, but the resemblance is more of an energy thing. That's why being loving and kind is so important. Because as the more loving and kind we are, we allow our true energy to come through where we can understand things in a higher way. So when you see this light being coming towards you, you aren't frightened and you understand that if you're quiet, you'll know who this is. It's like when you're living with a family and your back is to the door and somebody walks in the room, you generally know which member of the family it is before you even turn around. There's something in the energy pattern that just came into the room. And in my case, I rose up in my etheric body to greet this light being. And it was my son who had passed away the day that he was born. And he was born on my birthday. The day and I almost died, and I didn't. I didn't want to die. I begged to stay here so I could take care of my child who was already here. 2 years old, and my baby died. And now he came back to me as a 26-year-old. That's what I thought in my mind. He looks like he's 26, and he resembles my son. And he did. And as I rose up to greet him, he embraced me. And I felt the most unbelievable love that I had. You just don't feel that kind of love on earth. It is totally unconditional. And I have since learned that outside of earth, outside of third dimension, where everything is so heavy and so hard, there exists something called unconditional love. And that's what I felt, that he knew everything about me, everything. There were no secrets. And in spite of all my flaws and all my weaknesses and all what I would call mistakes, he still loved me in such a way that it was all-encompassing. And I asked him, how shall I call you? That's a very good thing to do. Anytime you're doing anything spiritual and a spirit shows up, always say, how shall I call you? Because in the one of the laws of the universe is that each being must identify themselves in truth. So you ask that question, and he said, I am your son, and you are my mother. And from that moment on, all I wanted to do the rest of the summer that happened on July 4th weekend, the year that I was turning 50, I knew something was going to happen special that year. When I had my 49th birthday, I knew that before my 50th birthday, something big. So I was carrying a notebook and a pencil to write it down. Yeah, I didn't need a notebook and a pencil to write this down. This was so big. And what I did was, after that, see, I welcomed him into my life. And so all I had to do was lie down flat. That's the ancient Egyptian way of meditating, because your heart, all of you, is open to God. So when you're lying flat, you're exposed and you're not hiding anything. Other cultures have other ways of describing it, but this is the way I do it. And I called on him to come to me. And so he would come to me, and I'd feel the vibrations. And I was constantly testing my own sanity to make sure I wasn't losing my mind. And I kept asking for signs, and he kept giving me signs. But the thing was, I was addicted to this, because the love that I felt when he came to me was so glorious, and it was so healing, that I just couldn't get enough of it. And he was teaching me, giving me high spiritual teachings. It's in my book. It's the last chapter of part one, and it's how I said goodbye to all that had been before. I was able to understand my life as I had lived it up until that point in a certain way. And the reason that I had to write the book is that from that moment when my son, my guide, came to me, he started to bring in high information. Now we call it download because we are speaking in today's language. Then I just felt my head was being emptied of everything else and was being filled with something new. And the new was high esoteric teachings, and it was question and answer. I would ask him a question that day, and he would give me the answer. And the answer was always on such a high level that that's what I wrote down. I wrote down the questions and answers. I didn't want to forget that. And he just raised my consciousness in such a way that I never could be the same again. And in fact, if I hadn't written part one, A Song of the Heart, I wouldn't be able to remember it today, because my head was completely filled with this new way of being. So I was transformed, totally transformed.
Wow, that's something. One of our people in chat, Jules, said that that was a beautiful story. So, but you know, it is, you know, and I think this is really something important for the listeners to kind of understand and grapple with. I mean, you know, here you had a kind of like a life before and a life after, kind of like a, you know, before that experience and after that experience, and you know, those kinds of things can happen at any time, no matter, you know, at what point in your life. And you know, it's the fact that your book, you kind of wrote part one and then had to kind of live life for, you know, 21 years before everything kind of came to be. You know, I think right now, I think a lot of people are kind of at that point where they're ready to transform, you know, into that newer existence. And the thing is that I think some people are having a little difficulty kind of putting a closure, like, to part one, you know, and kind of allowing that to, you know, exist in the past in order to, because like you said, you kind of had to, you had to kind of empty yourself of that in order to fill up with the new.
However, let me assure everyone who's listening and asking these wonderful questions, you're all my friends, we're all connected, and you wouldn't be listening if we weren't. Don't think that there was anything special about me. It took years. From that day, that was 1991, I was not able to separate from my husband for another 8 years. It didn't happen overnight. I was still, you know, emotionally heart connected to my life the way I knew it. That was a life I knew. So, but my mind was seated and it was preparing me for the future. And there is nothing that you can say is wrong, was a mistake. We do things when we're able to do them, and we cannot punish ourselves or look back and hurt ourselves over it. It's just who we are. So it took another 8 years before I was actually able to free myself so that I could do what I had to do in the world. And it's not easy. It's not easy to let go of the past. The past is, you know, our egos are tied up with the past. Our egos are everything that's been put into us. So how easy can it be to let go of it? You know, it's letting go of the tribe, letting go of everything. You know, I made up my mind I was no longer going to feel the sufferings of my ancestors. I grew up feeling the sufferings of my father and my mother and my grandmother and all the sufferings of the ancestors. I mean, that's a heavy burden we carry. I'm not the only one. We all, everything that they brought to this new world, say, from the old country, all of us are walking around with it, you know, and we have to let go of it because all of that, the big message is to bury all the wars in the past, all the weapons of war, bury all of that in the ashes of the past and let it go. We're not going to be living that kind of a world anymore. When this cycle ends and the new cycle begins, we'll be living in a world of peace. We're not going to carry all of this with us. We have to let go of it so we can be lighter, actually become the light. That's what we're being called on to do, is become the light. Not just think about the light and ask it to come to us, but we have to be that light, which we already are. That light is inside us. That's the light of our soul. That's who we are, and we have to become more of that soul light. That's our true authentic self. And we have not been our true authentic selves because of the ego. So, we need an ego to survive and make our living and so on, but not to the point where it's suffocating us.
I agree. Well, we're at past the halfway point, Francine, so I want to take just a quick break. If anyone would like to call in and ask Francine any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. Or for those of you who are listening now in the chat room, if you have a question that you would like for me to pose to Francine, feel free to type it in, and we will talk about that when we come back. So we're going to take just a quick, about a 2.5-minute break. So everyone, stay tuned.
Hi, it's Maya at Mind Over Matter in Nyack, New York. I'd just like to take a moment to share with you how amazing I found Robert Sharpe's book, Joy Potential. It kind of found me at a time when I was feeling out of sorts and overwhelmed and I guess derailed by the pressures of my career and my large family and caregiving and ailing husband. I just really felt like my spark was dimming. It was a perfect time for me to pick up Joy Potential because as I just in the first few pages began to read, I found that my frame of mind wasn't so different from others dealing with challenges and the trials and tribulations of life. I guess my first feeling was that I wasn't alone, and with that I began to open more to receive the message that Robert gave of light, and love and positive thinking. That's what Joy Potential is all about. His thoughts are beautifully written, and everyone, whether you're going through your own personal challenges, should read it. His message was certainly well received from me, and I'm thankful for his insight and his caring and really helping me to get back on track. I think everyone should put Joy Potential on the top of their reading list. Love and light. Thank you.
Join Maya and discover that you are not alone and that a world of joy awaits you. To get your copy of Joy Potential, visit www.joybook.me. Buy it, read it, and start living a life that's happier, more peaceful, and one where you maximize the joy potential that life has to offer. Again, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me now.
This is Roy Worley at mysticalship.com. R.P. Sharp has done it again. His new book, It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites, with BITE, B-I-T-E, being an acronym for Bringing Inspiration to Earth, has once again hit a home run. Unlike R.P. Sharp's first book, Joy Potential, which was a uniquely original story containing a message of hope and inspiration for everyone regardless of where they happen to be on their personal spiritual path. It's No Secret is a compilation of awareness, insights, guidance, and wisdom that can help anyone navigate through their lives on a daily basis. It's No Secret also contains resources and references that enable a person to find expanded information on a variety of issues that affect all of us. Order It's No Secret today. I guarantee it will be a valuable resource for help with whatever your needs are.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, thank you to Maya and to Roy for those testimonials. I greatly appreciate that. Again, we're going to return back to today's show, and my very special guest is Francine Vail, and she is author of Song of the Heart, Walking the Spiritual Path. Again, you can find out more about Francine by visiting her website, which is francinevale.com, and that's V-A-L-E.com. And also on her website, you can connect with her at Facebook and LinkedIn. So be sure to join her there. So, Francine, we're back.
Hi.
Okay,
I want to
great.
Read your book, Robert.
Thank you. Yeah, the Joy Potential was my first one, and that one was kind of, your book, you say it's kind of like a fictionalization. That's kind of the style that I used with my first one. And now the last one, Spirituality Bites, is just a really small, 17 different insights from, I've learned from many of the guests I've had on, and just different actions people can take to make their life better, happier, and less stressful.
Well, sounds wonderful.
Great. Well, we do have a question from someone in the chat room, Jules. One of her comments, you talked about your spiritual experience, meeting your guide. And her comment was, I'd love to have a spiritual experience of my own. Now, her question is, are you able to tell if someone is at the brink of having an experience? Or, when you were at that point where you had that experience, was there anything in your life that kind of maybe gave you a clue, or was there any particular mindset that you had when that occurred?
There was, because I did feel, I think I mentioned this, like when I turned 49, I knew that something was, I just had a knowing. It's, sometimes we have to get, I've always been a person that likes to be quiet. I need time every day by myself. And now I have plenty of time by myself, but at that time I didn't. So I needed to seek out, like if I had an hour to myself, always. And in that quiet time, you allow yourself to know things. And I just had this knowing that something spectacular was going to happen. I did not know what it was, but I was ready. Every time I was walking down the street or going somewhere, whatever I was doing, I would think to myself, maybe it's when I get there, maybe it's today, maybe it's down this street. And, of course, it happened when I was at the beach and I was relaxing, and I had no idea that it was going to happen there. It's just a big beach out there and the ocean. And, of course, that was the perfect place for it to happen, right at the edge of the Atlantic Ocean. So things will happen to us when we generally have a sense that it's going to happen. You know, we need to give ourselves a lot more credit for our intuitiveness. And we are all highly intuitive. It's just that it's been pounded down with the information age and thinking we have to get it on the computer or be told by somebody else. We are all giving away our authority. Dear friend, don't give your authority away. Get quiet. Go inside yourself. It may seem strange if you haven't done it before, but get used to it. Do it. And discover inside yourself is everything. Because our soul, we only have a small portion of our soul with us when we get born here. The rest of it is in a higher realm. It's too dangerous for our soul to come into third dimension completely. And so our soul is connected to our higher self, which I think is the rest of our soul. And our higher self is connected to all that is. So that's how we have access to everything. And it may not come when we're awake. It may come in a dream. Get into the habit of writing your dreams down. As just, you may think, oh, I only remember one little thing. What big deal is that? But when you start writing, things will come through in the writing that you didn't even think of before you sat down to write, because it'll come through like automatically. So get in the habit of recording your dreams and see the picture that they create. And also getting in touch with your dreams connects you to your higher self, and it does raise your consciousness.
I'm a dream lover. I love the dream state.
Absolutely.
Give me a dream
you're
I can recall.
You're probably traveling all over the universe when you're dreaming.
Well, you know, I did when I was young. I mean, when I was young, I as a matter of fact, this would kind of lead into a question that I had for you. When I was young, I just flew all the time. I mean, when I was a kid, I went in my dream state, I would just flap my arms and I'd just be taken off, and then I would just go everywhere. But the question that kind of leads to it is, there in your book, the book you talk about the first part kind of being fictionalized, but in one section you have Maddie's life review, Maddie being your father, and in it that you indicate that his earliest memory was picking yellow daisies. My question to you is, how was this something that how did this that vision of that particular environment come to you?
Well, you know, I know it's being called fictionalized because that's the way, you know, before you have your book published, it has to go through a process and it gets written out, and that's the way the publicist chose to write about it. It's really not that fictionalized. I mean, the names are fictionalized, everything that I write about is absolutely accurate, including every single word of dialogue. I had such a memory of everything that happened. Every word of dialogue that's in my book is exactly what the people said and what I said. Nothing was made up. And I let people express themselves, the characters express themselves through what they say, rather than me saying what they did. I let them express their characters through their own dialogue. So my father, it's very poignant, and I grew up listening to his terrible childhood. And I wrote about it not only because it's my father, who I love very, very dearly. But you should know, and everyone listening, I had the most harmonious lifetime with my parents. Not that they did everything perfect for me. They didn't, and some people could criticize it. But they loved me, and we never argued. And how's that? I mean, I went through my whole teenage years. I never had an argument with my parents. I always saw their sorrow and their tribulations, and I did not want to add to them. So whatever it was, I just, you know, let them be and love them. So my father's earliest memory, he was in a field picking yellow daisies. That was the day of his mother's funeral. He was 3 years old. And I thought when I was writing it, it was perfect because my introduction is about the light that I saw, that field of golden light that I saw the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then my father's, and then I begin the story, my father's earliest memory, he's in the field picking yellow daisies. So it was a beautiful segue, you know, of thought, consciousness. And as it turned out, you know, after my father passed away, he immediately came back to me. I felt him wanting to talk to me. And he lived to be 72, so we had a nice time together. He saw my children growing up, and it was, he had a better life when he got older, of course. But I also, my mind is filled with things to say right now. My father came back to me after he passed, and I felt he wanted to talk to me, so I went to call a psychic that I knew. And all of a sudden, I hear my father's voice saying to me, "Fran, you don't need to call a psychic. I can speak to you directly." And that began my father's transmissions to me from the other side. And he showed up to tell me exactly what he needed to tell me. And all these years later, he's still coming back and he's still guiding me, and I've learned who he is. And he is a very wise soul, and he chose to have this very challenging life because we were going to be together and start out very poor, and I would have the experience of making it on my own. So I also wrote about my father's childhood because I wanted very strongly in this book for it to be universal, not just my story, but I wanted to have a universal appeal. And so I wanted to call attention to how children are abused and child abuse, and I studied that. I studied for years, actually, before I even knew I was going to write this book, all the social sciences in preparation. It's like my higher self is having me do this. And I wanted to bring that out, that children were so badly abused, and indeed we all know what goes on today, although
yeah.
Not in this country institutionalized as much as it was in his childhood. So my father's story is very, very important in the Song of the Heart story because the thread of our relationship follows throughout the entire book, even after he leaves this planet, which is so remarkable, the information that he gave me and the proof. I never stopped asking for signs, never. I always need signs. So I get signs,
yeah.
I get them two at a time. So in case I think that didn't really happen, it happens again.
A reinforcement,
right,
a backup sign.
Right. Right, so that's a long answer, but I think I'm giving you a lot of really good insight into relationships and how, you know, we don't know who any of us is. We don't even know who we are. We have no idea who we are, the magnificent light beings that we are. How can we judge who someone else is? That's why we have to be kind and loving to everybody. We don't know who anybody is, so we have to act as if they are a god, because in fact they could be one.
Yeah,
and that's
very much
the way
so.
I like to live. I like to live that way. And
I agree.
You know, my father was a humble man. He was a printer. He stood on his feet and worked hard all his life. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, the reason I wondered about that is because, you know, we were talking about dreams. When I was a child, one of my most common reoccurring dreams that I would always fly to was a field of yellow daisies. I mean, I would go to this place, and I didn't know at the time, but right now in hindsight, you know, I believe that's where I met my guides. I mean, there were three of them. one really close,
yeah,
one further away, and one farthest away, male, female, and no gender, you know. But, I mean, I just loved that place. I mean, I would, it would be my go-to place in my dreams, you know. And it, and so, you know, when I read about the Yellow Daisies, it just kind of flashed back to my younger days of astral travel. And I said, boy, this is really something, so...
Well, that's beautiful, and I have to tell you, you see, what you just told us satisfies my soul, because I can't tell you what it means to me. Do you know what it means to me? As I said, I sought universality with my book, not just to be about
mm-hmm.
me, and in some magical way, I get emails, hardly a day goes by that I don't get an email from someone who's reading the book. They can't wait till they finish. They have to send me an email as soon as something happens in their mind when they're reading. And everyone from every spectrum of life who's reading my book finds something in there that hits them, that they relate to, that is so meaningful to them, that it's sometimes it's big and sometimes it's just that little
mm-hmm.
thing that triggers the connection.
Right.
And this
mm-hmm.
is what I wanted to achieve. And so when you tell me that, I'm so, so happy. Thank you so much. That gives you the opening to now read the rest of it. You know, you found
yeah.
a nugget. You found something
yep.
that you relate to. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I agree very much so. One of the things that, you know, you talk about, the first part, like you say, is kind of what was written early. It's a lot about your father. Part two, you know, the structure of all that is. You know, you kind of indicated that, you know, when you kind of got back into it, you basically sat down and it just came out. And that's, I liked the way you described it one time as information packets or that kind of thing that just I heard it described before. It's like quantum, you know, little quantum packets, you know, that,
yes.
that get thrown at us, you know, or thrown at, you know, people who are, you know, tuned in or to receive, you know, whatever kind of information is being sent. And so I'm curious about the structure of all that is. I mean, I personally love the idea and the phrasing of it. I mean, I've used the term all that is too before, you know, because it just seems all-encompassing.
Yes. Well, I always tell people who may not be entirely on the spiritual path, but everyone is in a certain way, that the structure of all that is the heart of Song of the Heart. And it is quantum physics, and it is scientific as well, because science is now exploring the whole idea of everything being a spiral, but they argue about it, they're not sure. So this came through in such a way that what the major teaching is, it's very hard to describe it in a short period of time that we have now, but I will say the value of it, the ultimate value of it is the oneness of all, that we all come from the same source. We become differentiated because we are each a unique particle of the source. And we become differentiated because we are made of light and sound. And when that light and sound vibration come together, that creates the atom that builds to become us, each one of us. And so we all have our own note, and we all have our own light, and the combination of that light and sound, note of sound, is what makes us unique. Now, of course, outside of third dimension, we are song. Here, within our physical body, we're a note. And so all together, we create a harmony. They call that the music of the spheres. But here, in the one note, it's harder to discern that. And so what the value of the structure of all that is, it shows that we are important. What we do here as human beings has a reflection on the all that is. It begins here on Earth. Everything, the billions of heavenly bodies that are out in the all that is, are held together in their place in the universes, in the various universes and galaxies, by magnetic resonance. And that magnetic resonance is produced by light and sound vibrations. So what we do here is our light and sound vibration affects the resonance on this planet. Now, we're so off right now on Earth with all the conflicts and all the diseases that are being created, and we're mind controlled by our media and all of those negative things, our planet is out of balance. Our solar system cannot handle a planet going out of balance. And what does it mean to be out of balance? It means that there is more attention being paid to fear than to love. So we have to get back into our balance of loving ourselves is where it begins. And we must begin to recognize that we are divine. Once you recognize that we have that spark of golden light inside us, and that's our divinity, it comes from source, all that is, how could we not love ourselves? We are divine beings. We must begin to love ourselves, and then that love will automatically radiate out and affect everyone else around us and reclaim our beautiful, magnificent planet, Mother Gaia, but to its original timeline of being in a vibrancy of love. That's what our task is, monumental. That's what we came here to do. That's why you're here, Robert. That's why everyone else who's connected to you and to me and to other people who are doing this work are here. It is an enormous task, but we can do it. We can do it. It's not hard. It's the easiest thing in the world. We just have to wake up to it and start loving ourselves. So much darkness has been put on us. We have to know that that darkness is nothing. That's not real.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and that was one of the quotes I saw actually on one of your blog postings about the one about learn of the living crystal spiral, when basically it was that humanity has big responsibilities to fulfill, difficult but not impossible. So that's really important to remember. Each one of us can contribute to making that shift.
Yes, exactly. That's what our task is as humanity on Earth. We chose to be born at this time so we could take part in it. And that's really our responsibility. But, you know, it's a glorious responsibility, learning to love yourself while you're in third dimension when everything seems so hard. And we have so many things we don't like about. We're women, we don't like our bodies. We don't like this. We don't like our hair. We find so many things wrong with ourselves. And all we have to do is love ourselves. All of it is beautiful. We always admire what someone else has. Because everybody is beautiful, you know. So we have to see ourselves, you know. And that's really what our job is right now, the task. And
absolutely. Well, Francine, this has been wonderful. We're down to the last couple of minutes. So is there maybe any final words you might want to share with the listeners of maybe something we didn't cover?
Well, I just said what I feel about love is just so important.
Okay.
It is the overriding message of everything that I ever say is learning to love ourselves and start right now. And then when you look in the mirror, look into your eyes. Look deep, deep into your eyes and see yourself. And then imagine the spark of light that is your soul. See it expand as you love yourself. Allow that spark of light to expand and fill your whole body. Then let it go beyond your body and surround you with this beautiful light. And then let it expand even further and take in everything that you can imagine around you. And then send it streaming around the earth. And send your love light streaming around the earth. Imagine if everybody does that.
Wow, well, thank you for your time today. I've really thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, very much so.
Oh, thank you so much, Robert. Oh, kindred spirits, and I really enjoyed speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Francine Vail, and she is author of Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light. Again, you can find out more about Francine, her book, her blog, and many other things by visiting her website, which is francinevale.com, V-A-L-E.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So it's a wonderful book. Be sure to pick it up. Everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.